Many of you know that this past summer I went home to visit my family in Italy, and I also had the chance to go to Rome, and I was blessed to meet the Pope, Pope Francis. Let me tell you how it happened. That morning, my friends, Father Gianni, Father Luis, and I went early to the Vatican because we had to go through security screening, obviously, before being admitted to concelebrate Mass. When we finally made it to St. Peter's Square, we decided to take the very last row assigned to priests, not out of humility. We took the last place because it was against the barricades. And we were hoping that after Mass, the Pope would jump on his Pope Mobile and drive around and pass right behind the barricade where we were standing. So that was the reason why we took the last place, the last seat. However, some seats up on the main altar had no priests there. So the master of ceremony came to us in the last row and said, "Come on up." And he took us all the way up to the main altar. So we got to celebrate the Mass very close to the Pope. And right after Mass, he walked toward us, and we were able to greet him personally. Now, as I tell you this story, I realize that I'm being a fool, because I'm telling you about humility, but I'm doing it in such a way that it's really a sin of pride, right? I'm being as flawed as the Pharisees in today's reading. You know, humility is not a question of etiquette or good manners or simply politeness. Humility is sometimes the only answer to great tragedies. Right this morning, in the city of Ascoli Piceno, a city that was affected by the earthquake, the bishop celebrated a Mass in a gym, a funeral Mass for 35 victims of the earthquake. The president of Italy was also present, and so forth. Well, he started the homily by saying, "I don't have anything to say. I don't want to say the usual things that at this moment would not make much sense. Let me just tell you what I've been thinking these days. My prayer, my thought these days were, God, where are you? Where are you?" And then he said, "The earthquake has taken everything from you, everything from us. All we had, the people we loved. But the earthquake did not take from us the courage of faith and the heroic humility to kneel and face head on this great mystery of suffering. What we are left with," he said, "is the courage, the audacity of our faith, and the heroic humility to know that we don't know, to understand that we don't understand." Humility is indeed a virtue that I suspect has been degraded in our culture. We're not the first ones, by the way. The Hellenistic culture thought that that humility was weakness, and effort instead, probably the way we do. But humility is a great virtue. We heard in today's readings, the first reading, the book of Sirach, "Conduct your affairs with humility. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are." Jesus, in the gospel acclamation we were singing just a minute ago, offers himself as an example of humility when he says, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." And then in the gospel, he teaches that the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, pride is one of the seven deadly sins. You remember that, right? The seven deadly sins: lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Pride is what made the devil fall from grace. According to tradition, this is what brought Lucifer down. He was an angel, Lucifer, the bearer of light. But he got so arrogant that he fell. We find this in, there are two references in the Old Testament about the fall of Lucifer. One is Ezekiel 28, and the other one is Isaiah 14. Ezekiel is talking about actually the prince of the city of Tyre, and he's criticizing him because of his pride and his arrogance. But then he says, someone else made the same mistake, Satan. And he says, you were a seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. In Eden, the garden of God, you lived. Precious stones of every kind were your covering. With a cherub, I placed you. Until evil was found in you. Your heart had grown haughty because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I cast you to the ground. You have become a horror, never to be again. Taken this from Ezekiel 24. The devil became the devil because of pride, because of arrogance. And Isaiah 14 makes the same point. Isaiah is talking about another king, the king of Babylon, but once again, his meditation escalates into a condemnation of Lucifer. And he says, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. How you have been cut down to the earth, you who conquered nations. In your heart, you said, I will scale the heavens. Above the stars of God, I will set up my throne. I will take my seat on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. No, down to Sheol you will be brought, to the depths of the pit. The first sin ever, the first rebellion ever against God. It was pride, vainglory. St. Augustine, commenting on this, said, pride transformed angels into demons. Humility transformed men into angels. In today's gospel, we hear that Jesus was dining in the house of a leading Pharisee, certainly a distinguished, important person. And Jesus was being observed carefully. This is a very interesting detail, because this is what proud people usually do. They observe others, because they measure themselves against others. They compare themselves. See, someone who is full of pride, of vainglory, needs to constantly feel that he's better than the other. He's doing better than the person next to him. In other words, they don't really stand on their own feet. They don't believe in their own worth, in their own goodness, except when they compare themselves with others. True humility, in this sense, is indeed freedom. Freedom from self-preoccupation. Freedom from wearing a mask. Freedom from putting on a facade. Freedom to be yourself. A humble person is free to be himself, to be herself. Let me tell you a little story about a man who went to the doctor, and he said, doctor, I have constant and severe headache. The doctor asked him a few questions, and he said, you know, doc, I don't drink like other people do. I don't smoke like many others. I don't overeat. I don't do anything wrong. And he went on and on and on and on. How good he was. And so the doctor said, let me ask you, that pain you hear, you feel in your head, is it a sharp shooting pain? And he said, that's exactly what it is, doctor, sharp and shooting pain. And so the doctor rendered his diagnosis and said, "Your problem is very simple. You have your halo on too tight. All you have to do is loosen it a bit and you will be fine." Is that what happens to us when we put on this air of pride and vainglory and superiority toward others? Do we wear a halo that is too tight? Another story, it's about a rich landowner who was parading himself around during an agricultural fair. He held his head up. He was inflating his chest, looking down on everybody else. And he met and encountered a poor, humble farmer who instead looked the opposite, his head hanging, looking downcast and bent over as he walked around. And so the wealthy landowner decided to offer a free advice and said, "My friend, you look like someone who has been defeated, with no self-confidence or composure, like you don't care about anything. Let me tell you, you will get nowhere unless you start projecting an image of self-confidence. Without intimidating your competition, asserting unapologetically your greatness and your worth." The poor farmer answered, "Sir, have you ever noticed that the spikes of the wheat remain tall and straight, tossed about by the wind, as long as they are empty? But when they are full of grain, they bend, bound their head under the weight. So it is also with men. The emptier they are, the taller they walk. While the humble person bows his head, not in shame, but in contentment for the treasure he holds in himself." Let us today heed today's readings, scripture, inviting us to rediscover the virtue of humility. The virtue of humility teaches us that when we are full of pride, we want to be better than others. Instead, humility makes us better for others. Amen.